Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our Old Testament reading from Jeremiah 33, and our focus this morning will be on verse 16. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Let's pray together. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us together to hear your word, the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our King. We pray that the Holy Spirit may work through this word so that our faith in him is strengthened and that faith overflow in lives of love to others. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So at the beginning of Advent, as we look forward to the days of Christmas, we are beginning a new series called Promises of a King, and it's a twofold emphasis. It's not only the promises that the King makes, it's also the promises that the King fulfills himself. So speaking of promises, I don't know about you, but anytime the season of Christmas rolls around, it seems that the days are full of that very word, promise, right? It seems like, all right, Christmas is coming, so things are looking up, right? Things are just going to be great. Can't wait for Christmas to come. And of course, you can see it visually wherever you go. You see people decorating their houses and their businesses with lights all over the place, just making it bright and cheery. You know, I mentioned the trees. Yeah, people have put up their Christmas trees. They decorated them. They probably decorated their whole house. It just looks festive. And of course, the music, right? We love the Christmas music, whether, you know, it's about Rudolph or about a baby in a manger. It's just bright and cheery and joyful, right? Yes, these days seem so full of promise. And yet we know lurking behind these days are dark days indeed. For many of us, things are not necessarily looking up. No, they're about to come crashing down. Things don't seem to be getting better. They seem to be stuck in neutral or even in reverse, getting worse by the minute. Yeah, these people, they're not singing joyful songs, they're singing the blues. Yeah, you look out at that world and you don't really see lights, you don't really see decorations, you don't really see this joyful music. You see a pandemic that just refuses to end. You see a nation still in turmoil. You still see violence in our cities. You see illness all over the place. You see a lot of mental anxiety and fear going on. You see relationships strained, some of them breaking apart. You see a lot of darkness. So even as we hurtle toward Christmas, we look at lives and we look at our world and we think, man, does this need saving? Well, in our text from Jeremiah 33, the Lord makes a promise of salvation. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell securely. Oh, talk about days full of promise. See, God's people needed these promises because they were facing dark days indeed. What were they facing? They were facing this nation called Babylon that was a lot bigger and a lot meaner They were looking to conquer and not just, you know, say, hey, we are now in charge and you can stay here. No, they wanted to burn. They wanted to kill. And anyone that survived, they were going to ship them off into exile, into Babylon for God knows how long. And the people were terrified. They were worried that this grand tree that God had planted in the promised land that had grown up was about to be cut down to this lifeless stump. But what was the response of God's people to these dark days? Well, a lot of them thought, you know what? We will dwell secure. Oh yeah, we're God's people. Yeah, nothing can touch us here, right? I mean, we've got the rituals, we've got the worship, we've got the sacrificial system, we've got the law, we've got the goods, we're good to go. Oh yeah, we're okay. Never mind that God's people were sinning rampantly all over the place. There was violence, there was bloodshed, they were enslaving their own people. The rich were getting richer, and the poor and the widows and the fatherless were starving and dying. And there was rampant idolatry going on. Oh yeah, that God that had actually rescued them from Egypt, had led them through the wilderness and planted them in the promised land all by his grace and mercy, they were like, nah, we don't want that God. No, we're going to worship this other God. We're going to sacrifice our own children to that God. Never mind that God himself was actually cutting down this grand tree. And he was using Babylon as his own personal axe. And all of this was going to happen to them because God's people believed this promise. Our own righteousness will be our salvation. How about you? How about me? When we face the dark days of our own sinfulness, how many of us actually believe that promise? My righteousness will save me. You know, what this is salvation. Yeah, we're kind of like, yeah, we understand about the whole, you know, eternal salvation, right? But salvation in this case is escaping the hard times of life. You know, things are broken in your life and, you know, it's time to get them fixed, right? Because I have really messed things up. I have been thinking just, you know, anger and lust and pride. I've been saying things to other people. I've been lying to them. I've been gossiping about them. I've been slandering them on social media to their face and emails. And I've been doing things that, oh, I never thought I would do. And now my life is just broken. It is messed up. And I need salvation. I need to escape this. I need to get rescued here. But that's when we turn to ourselves, to our own righteousness, thinking it'll save us. You know, I remember one time I was counseling a young man whose marriage was falling apart. They were separated, wife was going to probably file for divorce, and he had come to me seeking some kind of counsel. And as we were talking about it and talking about it, it became all too clear. His salvation was getting his marriage back together. And so what did he do? He said, well, you know what? I know I messed up. I know I said things and did things to her that really hurt her, but you know what? I'm not going to do that anymore. Nope, I'm going to turn things around. I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I'm going to work on myself, and I'm going to be the husband and the father that I wasn't back then. That's what I'm going to do. Makes sense, right? Makes sense. If sinning is the things that we say and do, then it becomes all too easy to look to our own righteousness to save us. You know what? I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to stop thinking those thoughts. I'm going to stop saying those things. I'm going to stop doing those things. And I'm going to start doing the good, right? Now, of course, I'm all for us trying to fix things and, you know, attempt to solve problems. But here's the thing. What about those wonderful Bible passages that show us what's really going on? What about, like, say, Romans 3, all have fallen short of the glory of God. No one is righteous. No one seeks after God at all. What about 1 John 1? If we say we have no sin, well, we actually deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What about Psalm 51, the Psalm of David, where he clearly says, I was born in sin, in sin did my mother conceive me. It's throughout me. It then becomes really hard to believe that promise that your own righteousness will save you when you are not righteous from the beginning. It's kind of hard to believe that promise that you can push out a branch from this cold, lifeless stump that you are as a sinner. Meaning, how can you face these dark days of sin on your own when you don't have it, when you are not righteous? So during our conversation, counseling session with this man, at one point, he did kind of just break down and he acknowledged, he said, boy, I really messed up. I did. I was saying things to her and we were arguing and I said some things and then there were things I should have done that I didn't do and now I'm here. And he looks at me and he says, will Jesus forgive me for these sins? And I instantly said, yes, yes, he will. And then I said this, that's why he came in the first place. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David. And he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And how is that even going to be possible? And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. You see, when we face the dark days of our sin, the Lord promises, my righteousness will save you. He promised it to God's people back then. He said, out of this lifeless stump of God's people, a righteous branch will grow. Not this huge tree that just suddenly pops out of nowhere, no, but a little shoot. A baby that is born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger. Oh, but that little shoot will start to grow up. It will stretch out as a branch, touching lives, touching the sick and healing them, touching the outcasts, the tax collectors, and the sinners, and welcoming them into his kingdom, no strings attached, touching all kinds of lives with his grace, mercy, and peace. But this righteous branch will continue to stretch out until it stretches out on another branch, the wood of a cross, and justice will be executed right there. Righteousness, true righteousness, will be shown as this righteous branch is cut down for those who are not righteous, those who are sinners, those who cannot save themselves, cut down for you and for me. And now we are saved. Now we dwell completely secure, not because of our own righteousness, not because of our own striving and blood, sweat, and tears. No, because the Lord is our righteousness. Because the Lord has taken all of our sin upon himself and given us his righteousness. Because the Lord, our King, has fulfilled his promise. He has taken this cold, lifeless stump of a sinner and has created something new. A new life, a new creation, full of his forgiveness, grace, and love. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, because this is true, the dark days of sin can become days full of promise indeed when we trust that the Lord's righteousness will save us and not our own. Because we are looking to these dark days of sin, we are looking to times of failure, times of sin, times of frustration, times of disappointment, times where we think, say, and do all of these evil things, but that's when we trust God forgives it all in Jesus Christ. I mean, we look forward to these days where we know we are going to be struggling with our sinfulness. Every single second of our lives, we will be struggling with our sinfulness. But see, that is when we trust. We're already saved. We're already in God's good graces because of Jesus Christ. When you face the dark days of your sin, this is not the time to try and push out a righteous branch by your own strength. No. It's time to trust that the righteous branch is already growing inside you. That he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So yeah, for you and for me, the days of Christmas, full of promise. But it's not just the lights, not just the decorations or the music. No, it's the promise our King makes. A righteous branch will spring up, a king who executes justice and righteousness through his death and resurrection, a king who is our righteousness. To him alone be the glory, now and forever. Amen.